Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome all of you to worship this morning as we gather to praise and worship and exalt our great and triune God. If you are visiting with us, I do want to welcome you, especially this morning. And I'd like to call all of your attention to the connection card, which is in the chair pocket in front of you, and ask if you would fill it out. You could drop this in the offering plate as it comes by later on in the service. And as we did last week, after the benediction, we'll briefly sit you down for a few of our announcements. And so for now, if you would make sure that any electronic devices that you have are turned off or put in the mute or vibrate mode, and I invite you to stand for our call to worship this morning, which is a responsive reading. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done.
Sing to Him, sing praise to Him, tell the world His wonderful acts.
Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Would you open up your hymnals to number 53? Let's glorify the Lord. Father, we gather as your covenant people to joyfully sing to you. We desire to worship, to praise, to glory in your holy name, and to seek your face
for you are the Lord God. We ask that you would draw near to us, that you would receive our worship, for we approach you through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. You are one God, now and forever. Amen.
Well, following along in your bulletin, Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verses 27 through 35. And the Lord said to Moses, "Write these words, for in accordance with these words I have made a covenant with you and with Israel." So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Come now to a time of confessional prayer. I invite you to bow your heads as we look to the Lord in prayer. Father, though we seek to follow you with all of our heart, we are weak and we are inconsistent. We trust you, yet we also so easily grumble and complain. We love you, yet we often are so self-absorbed and love ourselves more. And though you've promised never to leave or forsake us, we so quickly doubt your presence and your provision at the first hint of any inconvenience or suffering. Father, this is all sin. And so we ask that in this brief time of silence that you would hear us as we silently confess our sins to you.
And Father, would you hear us as we all pray together? O Lord, full of mercy and grace, take away from me my sins and mercifully kindle in me the fire of your Holy Spirit. Take away from me the heart of stone. Give me a heart of flesh, a heart to love, to adore you, Lord, a heart to delight in you, to follow, to rejoice in you, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, the gospel of Christ, our assurance of pardon from 1 John 1:9 states, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 18. The Apostle Paul writes, since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses who had put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end, but their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, having gathered in the presence of God to worship, it is a privilege to present a new member to this local expression of the body of Christ. Miss Alessandra Pelleggi, who was baptized as an infant, is being presented as a communing member by profession of faith. She was examined by our session and received as a communicant member at our February 12th meeting. And so we are thrilled to present her to the congregation as a new member. And so at this time, I'd like to call Alessandra forward. And there is some biographical information concerning Alessandra in the bulletin for you to get to know her a little bit better. Though as one who has been worshiping fairly regularly with us for nearly a year, she's certainly no stranger to most of us. So, Alessandra, as we discussed, we're going to be going over the five vows of church membership. And as I read these vows to Alessandra, if you are a member of Christ Central, we do invite you to remember your own vows as Alessandra answers these. So the first vow, do you acknowledge yourself to be a sinner in the sight of God, justly deserving his displeasure and without hope except for his sovereign mercy? And do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners? And do you receive and rest upon him alone for salvation as he's offered in the gospel?
Yes.
And do you now resolve and promise in humble reliance upon the grace of the Holy Spirit that you will endeavor to live as becomes the followers of Christ? And do you promise to support the church in its worship and work to the best of your ability?
Yes.
And the final question, do you submit yourself to the government and discipline of the church and promise to study its purity and its peace?
Yes.
All right. Alessandra, let me pray for you. Lord God, we do give you thanks in your kind providence for bringing Alessandra to this church. And we pray that you would continue to pour out your grace and your love upon her, and that in this church, that she would grow in her faith, in maturity, that she would be able to bless each of us within this congregation as she herself would be blessed by us as well. And so, Father, thank you for bringing her to this church, and we pray that you would be glorified in her and in this local congregation. We pray all these things in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. All right, and Alessandra, as our custom, we do have a certificate of membership for you, and it is a privilege to welcome you.
Thank you.
So after our service, be sure to welcome Alessandra, the newest member of this church.
Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we indeed thank you for this opportunity once again to come into your presence. And Lord, having confessed our sins and having reaffirmed our faith in you, we ask, Lord, that you would hear our petitions. Father, you told us to pray for those who lead. You told us to be Christians who adorn the gospel. And so, Father, we pray for those who lead nations, who lead states and cities, provinces. Father, we pray that you would give these men and women wisdom way beyond their years, and that, Lord, consciously or unconsciously, they would understand and know something of your sovereign power and glory, that you're summing up all things in Jesus Christ, things on earth as well as in heaven. And so, Father, indeed, help us as Christians to live with a great sense of peace and comfort as a result of your sovereign presence amongst us. Father, we pray that you would enable our church to make the light of the gospel shine in so many ways, Lord, in this community and beyond. We ask, Lord, that you would advance the gospel through the ministries of our church. Father, we pray that we would be a unified people as we move into the future. Help us to love one another. Help us, Lord, to demonstrate the presence and the power of the living Christ. Father, we pray for those who struggle today with illness or other difficulties. We remember Quentin Knowlton. Ask for your healing hand upon him, Lord. We also pray for Dave and Pat Barden and Judy Smith, Glee Hamilton, Bill Bergen, Frank and Connie Frail, Alan and Judy Dalstall, Al and Debbie Vincent, St. Claude McDonald. Father, be with all of these. Give them strength day to day. May they move from one glory to another. May they have peace and a sense of your presence and glory to sustain them. Father, be with our sister in Christ, Loretta Salgado, in her pregnancy. We ask, Lord, that you would surround her with your grace and care, and that in months to come we could celebrate the birth of a new covenant child. Father, we pray for those who are confined and away from us. We think of Mike Cawley and Ron Quick Jr., Ron Quick Sr., Lee Zambon. Lord, be with these. Pour out your Spirit upon them. Meet all of their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And Father, we pray for our missionaries. Lord, we thank you for Don Vanderplug, who is present with us this morning. Father, may you bless him and sustain him. May you encourage him this day in his labors. May we be a blessing to him as he is to us. We also remember Rodney and Jana Davila and Dave and Paige Hawes. We pray for Andrew Newman on the campus of USF and Steve Light with Sojourner Church. And Father, we also remember SIEATN and B. Kirk and their fine ministries in South Florida and here in Tampa, respectively. Lord, be with these individuals, couples, and families. We pray for your spirit to be poured out upon them and that you would use them mightily for your glory. Now, Father, I pray that for every one of us, you would stop us from the busyness of this past week and that, Lord, we would pause to reflect upon your beauty, your glory, and your sustaining presence with your church, both corporately and individually, in every one of our lives. Lord, help us to do these things, and we'll give you all the praise and the glory, for we make our prayer in the name of the one who taught us to pray, even the Lord Jesus, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our third scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us,
so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I invite you to stand as we sing our offertory hymn number 146. Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love. You, in fact, have filled us with the love with which you have loved the Lord Jesus. So as dearly loved children, we acknowledge that everything that we have comes from your hand and belongs to you. And therefore, we bring to you our tithes and our offerings. We ask that you would use these gifts to help the needy, to make disciples, and to expand your kingdom throughout Tampa and the whole world. For it's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Let's stand in honor of our King. Please be seated. And as you take your seat, you can open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. We'll look principally at verses 20 through 26 this morning. But we will also take a bit of a tour through the other readings in the worship service today, that being Exodus chapter 34 and 2 Corinthians 3, 12 through 18. So if you have your bulletin handy, you might want to use it this morning more than normal, because these three passages hang together very well, and one sheds so much light on the other. So we'll hopefully do a little bit of research and background before we look at more closely John chapter 17. But before we do that, let's devote our time to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be our master teacher, and that, Lord, you would rid us, pastor and people alike, of every diverting thing, that we might hear your word, that it might change our lives, it might save the lost and disciple the saved. Lord, do all these things and more, and we'll give you praise and glory for what you will do. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's astonishing how often Hollywood has the tendency to find themes and storylines from the Bible, and the Bible in general, and the gospel in particular. Even horror films. I was thinking the other day about the movie The Shining with Jack Nicholson, Shelley Duvall, made in 1980, won many awards. It was a great horror flick. If you don't like horror movies, you won't want to watch it. But the central part of the movie is about a little boy who has this talent or this gift, this rather metaphysical ability to have visions where he knows the past, he knows what's going on in the present behind the scenes, and he knows something of the future, what will take place. I really believe that's Hollywood's version of something that we enjoy all the more in our God. Our God knows the end from the beginning, present, the past, the future. Our God makes us shine in a way far differently than that movie portrays. And we see that in the Old Covenant in Exodus, that is the giving of the Ten Commandments that God gave to his people. We see it in the New Covenant with a greater degree of glory. I'd like us to take a look for a few moments at those passages this morning, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. First of all, in Exodus chapter 34, we see here that Moses is in the presence of God, and he receives and he records the covenant God made with the children of Israel, that is, the Ten Commandments. You can see this in verses 27 and 28. The Lord said, "Write these words, for in accordance with these words I have made a covenant with you and with Israel." And so he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. It's no surprise that Moses didn't eat or drink during that 40-day period. He was with the Lord. And I believe that's a picture of what our God does for us whenever we are in His presence, whenever we behold His glory. It is a picture of the fact that He meets every single need that we have, body and soul. Well, in verses 29 and 33, Moses returns to the camp with the Ten Commandments, but he doesn't know that his face is shining. And Aaron and all the people are afraid to come near him, as we read this morning. But Moses calls Aaron and the people to him, and he talks with them. And then he puts the veil back over his face, according to verse 33. And then we get the regular weekly report of what goes on. Moses removes the veil whenever he speaks to God in verses 34 and 35, and subsequently God's people. But he puts the veil back over his face until he goes back into the presence of the Lord once again. The summary of all this is that the old covenant was glorious because of the presence of God. The word of God is revelation in the Ten Commandments and His glory. But it was limited. It was frightening and temporary, the old covenant. It was limited because Moses, as the mediator between God and his people, he's the only one who really had the experience of God's presence and God's glory and direct revelation from God. The people had to stand back. In fact, they were frightened. You can read all about it in the chapters in Exodus. There was thunder, there was lightning, there was the blast of a trumpet. And God told the people, don't get close and touch the mountain or you will die. And then there are the gradations that God allowed. He allowed Moses and Aaron and 70 elders to come up on the mountain. But then the elders and Aaron had to stop and Moses went up alone. It was a frightening thing. And it was limited. The people didn't share in that glory under the old covenant. Moses came down and his face was the only one shining. The people got a glimpse of it, but that's about it. So Moses experienced the presence of God, the revelation of God, and he reflected the glory of God. But again, it was limited and it was fading away. Because God had a better covenant. And we read all about that in 2 Corinthians 3, 12 through 18, where Paul offers the Corinthians a contrast between the old covenant and the new covenant, between the law of God and the gospel of God's grace. And you can read all about it in these verses. In verses 12 and 13, we have a sense of hope and boldness instead of uncertainty and fear the Israelites experienced at Sinai. Paul says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. The old covenant, characterized by fear and distance and limitations and threats, but not the new covenant. Paul says, instead of fear, there is boldness. Instead of uncertainty, there is hope. You see, God gave his people the Ten Commandments, but they were powerless to keep those commandments. And over again, they disobeyed God. In fact, the occasion we read about in Exodus is the second time, or the renewal of the covenant, because the first time, even before Moses got back, they made a golden calf. They wanted a God they could see. They wanted to practice idolatry. And so here we have the giving of the covenant, or the renewal of the covenant, where God gives and replaces those tablets of stone where Moses threw them down and broke them. And Paul says, this covenant, this new covenant in Christ Jesus, offers hope and boldness. It also offers us revelation. In verses 14 and 16, Paul takes this image of the veil that Moses wore and he employs it as something of a barrier that keeps people from understanding, that steals away the impact of the Word of God, the revelation of God. Paul sees in the veiling of Moses in verses 14 and 16 of 2 Corinthians 3 something analogous to the veil which lay over the minds of the Jewish friends and contemporaries who could not properly understand the law of Moses when it was read in their synagogues. And just as Moses was able to enter into God's presence without a veil, so too, when one turns to the Lord in faith, Paul says the veil is removed. That is, the separation from God, the incomprehension of Him brought about by a hardened heart. The Bible says when one turns to the Lord, under the new covenant in Jesus Christ, that veil, that barrier is removed. And not only that, in verses 17 and 18, there is freedom and transformation instead of bondage to sin and judgment. Unlike the old covenant, as I mentioned previously, it led to disaster because people could not obey. God gave them 10 commandments. His revelation was there. His presence was there. But the inability of the flesh alone, apart from the intervention of God, made the covenant, the old covenant, something the Israelites could never keep. Something that we could never keep. But Paul says, under the new covenant, Christ is our Lord and Savior. He's the surety of the covenant. Christ, as we've studied before, obeyed the law perfectly. Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins and my sins completely. Therefore, we belong to Him by faith. And Paul says, there is freedom in this. How so? Well, Jesus died and rose again, and He ascended back to heaven. And Paul says in verses 17 and 18 that His Spirit has come to mediate His presence. Look at verses 17 and 18 of 2 Corinthians 3 with me. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into this same image from one degree of glory to another. Paul says, we believe in Christ by faith, we trust Him, we begin a new relationship. And as I've mentioned many times, it's not just a matter of believing doctrine. It's a matter of entering into a dynamic relationship with a living Savior. It's a matter of seeing the unseen. It's a matter of a healthy fear of God so that you don't fear anything or anyone else in life. It's a matter of stability and meaning and purpose and significance because your life has a foundation that will never change. It's a matter of peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty from condemnation, from guilt and sin and death. The old covenant, the blindness to the gospel. Liberty for those who acknowledge, I cannot keep God's commandments on my own. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. That's when we experience liberty. Yes, we are part of the new covenant, not the old. Paul says in Romans 8:29, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And that is the goal in life for the Christian. It is not my happiness. It is not for me to build some sort of utopian society. It is not for me to even change the culture. It is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And a Christian filled with the Spirit of God will cooperate with the Lord in that endeavor. Now, all of this brings us by way of introduction to John 17, the high priestly prayer, where, as you know, Jesus prays to the Father before going to the cross. And He outlines His relationship to the Father. He speaks of His glory. He prays for His disciples. And He prays for them and their ministry in the world throughout that chapter. So we could ask, before we approach it, what is the basis or the foundation of all the new covenant realities? Our union with Christ. We have a relationship with the living God through the triune God by faith alone in Christ. And Jesus outlines that those partial and temporary benefits of the old covenant reach their absolute fulfillment in Him and in all those who believe in him for eternal life. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just a matter of the Ten Commandments and studying God's grace. All the old covenant foreshadowed is in Christ Jesus. It is a relationship that is dynamic and often messy as we seek to walk with God by faith. I want you to notice three things this morning from chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. It's amazing to me that in the tail end of this chapter, Jesus speaks of the very same realities that were foreshadowed in the old covenant and demonstrated in the new covenant in our lives, and they all are found in him. And by that I mean the revelation of God, the glory of God, and the very presence of God, all of which Moses experienced, but the people really couldn't participate in, except with that mediator, Moses. Notice with me in John chapter 17, Jesus speaks of, first of all, his revelation through his disciples. Look at verse 20. I do not ask for these only, meaning his disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Those in the world will believe in Christ because of the revelation of God's word made known to the apostles by divine inspiration. Jesus made that very clear, that he was going to send his Spirit. And one of the things the Spirit would do is remind the disciples of what he said. And they would become inspired writers of sacred scripture. And you'll notice Jesus mentions this in a very interesting way. He says they will believe through their word. What does he mean by that? Well, he means God's word appropriated through the means of a human being preaching and teaching the scriptures. Just like in the Old Testament. You know, the Bible says that God, in that passage we read, told Moses, write these things down. And in other places we're told that those commandments were written by the finger of God. What is it? Well, it is the very word of God. But God never bypasses means which he is pleased to use. And he used Moses to communicate his word to his people. Well, here Jesus is saying, I give you revelation. And there are people in the world who don't know me yet, but they will come to know me as you preach and teach and share the gospel. Moses received 10 commandments on tablets of stone. We have the full revelation of God Almighty in sacred scripture as a result of our relationship to the Lord Jesus. And whether one has a relationship or not doesn't make the scripture invalid. It is God's word. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit illuminates our minds to understand all that God says to us. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10. What no eye has seen, no ear has heard, not has entered into the heart of man, what God has prepared for all those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. I don't know about you, but before I became a believer, I could not understand God's word. I sit on my bedside and read the New Testament over and over again. It didn't make any sense at all to me. But there was a time when I believe the veil was removed. And something clicked. And I began to realize that it wasn't just Jesus dying for sinners, but Jesus had died for me, personally. And I understood that he was my substitute. That I give him all my sin in exchange for his righteousness. Yes, these things are made known to us by way of revelation. Paul goes on in chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 of 1 Corinthians. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. And what is the result? Look at verse 21. It's evangelism and unity. Jesus says that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The revelation of God. The word is no longer on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Too often with professing Christians, it just remains on tablets of paper, the Bible. But you see, that is the difference between knowing about Christianity and being in Christ. Trusting Him by faith, obeying Him, communing with Him. You see, ladies and gentlemen, once again, the application is we don't need to consult the dead regarding the past. And we don't need to know about the future or worry about it. Because our God knows the beginning from the end. No wonder He says in the Old Testament, why consult the dead on behalf of the living? If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're in Christ, you trust Him by faith, you've turned away from your sin, and you keep on turning away by the Spirit's power, then you have all the revelation of God that you will ever need in sacred Scripture. Think about it. Well, Jesus speaks of revelation to His disciples and subsequently to all who will believe. But He also speaks of His glory. Look at verse 22. This is absolutely astonishing. The glory of God. The glory, says Jesus, verse 22, that You have given Me, I have given to them. Why? That they may be one even as We are one. The glory of God is something that Moses saw on the mountain. That's why he came down with his face shining. He saw God in a limited way. Because the Bible also says no one can see God and live. We don't know all that happened at that point, and we shouldn't try to figure it out. All we do know is that Moses encountered the glory of God. He beheld it, and it made his face shine. But here Jesus says, the foundation and the basis for your life is My glory, which resides in you. Now you can see how that can develop very easily into a heresy. We're not our own gods. But we are becoming like Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now lead in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The irony of the Christian life is the more you lose your life, the more Christ's life comes up in you. And the more you discover all that God has for you in this life as you prepare for the next life. And it's wonderful. Jesus speaks of His glory. What's the application, Pastor? That we don't have to go through life trying to establish our own glory. That is to say, our own meaning, purpose, and significance. You know, many are driven by these things. There are many wealthy people, many highly educated people that are driven by these things. What kind of legacy will I leave? How will people remember me? Does my life have any purpose or significance? What does God want me to do? Folks, when you've been in the presence of the glory of God, you don't have to establish your own glory. You don't have to go through life wondering if you have any purpose or significance. God, by His revelation, will make that known to you as you sit quietly before Him. You don't have to go through life saying, I'll never matter, or will I ever find a husband or a wife? I don't have to go through life saying, I need to leave my mark somewhere in a building, in a book, in a business. No, you already have meaning and purpose and significance because the very glory of God resides in you as a believer. And that should hold your feet to the ground and make you secure as a man or a woman, as a young person, so that you don't have to chase after all the things the world says you should chase after to give your life meaning and purpose and significance. Well, there's one more thing. The revelation of God in the Old Covenant, the glory of God which Moses experienced under the Old Covenant, but then the presence of God. You know, Moses was in the presence of God, albeit in a limited fashion. But the people had to remain down below by the mountain, otherwise they would die. But notice what Jesus says. Not only does he give us his revelation, his word, and understanding of it, not only does he give us a ministry to show unity and to evangelize the world and to show forth his glory inside of us, but Jesus speaks of his abiding presence with his disciples. Look at 24 through 26 of John 17. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given to me. I used to read those words as an infant Christian and thought, what in the world is Jesus saying? He's talking about something very, very beyond the physical realm. And he's saying to the Father, and indirectly to his disciples and to you and to me, that he wants to have his abiding presence with us at all times. We can't go physically to be where he is. He comes to us. And that's why Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And this is where the Christian life must be lived, in the presence of Almighty God. That's why Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And the vine must abide in the branch. Because if that doesn't happen, then whatever is done is nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. Because it doesn't give glory back to God. That's the way the triune God works. He gives us his glory. Why? So that we can reflect it back to him. That we might glorify him. And the more we glorify him, the more we demonstrate his glory in our lives. The presence of God, the abiding intimacy. Look at verse 26. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus said, I will abide with you and I will continue to reveal my name to you, God's name. What's the application, Pastor? Well, you don't have to go through life alone. Indeed, you can't. You can't as a Christian. And I think God shows us that by trials and difficulties. Sometimes we lose a spouse by death or divorce. We feel a sense of emptiness, a sense of loneliness. How will I get through? I've heard mothers say that before. How will I get through without my child? What I don't know what I would do if I lost my child. I don't know what I'd do if I lost my job. I don't know what I'd do if I lost my spouse. Well, the one person, ladies and gentlemen, you'll never lose in terms of his presence is the Lord Jesus. God's presence, mediated through the Holy Spirit, the living Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. You don't have to go it alone, and you can't go it alone. And that's completely contrary to what is taught in North America and around the world. That you pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you reach out and try to find the Almighty, whatever that is, whatever you want to make it. That's what the world says. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, the new covenant, says you can't do anything without me, Jesus says. Have you tasted of this new covenant? Are you pressing in to know Christ? That's what Paul said. He knew Christ better than anyone. And yet in Philippians he said, I want to know him further. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings. And basically the victory in dying to him. Let me me challenge you with that this morning. All these new covenant realities that Paul speaks of, that Moses foreshadowed, are found in Christ Jesus. It's as simple as that. And may we experience his revelation. May we know his glory. And may we experience his abiding presence every day. You know, when I was younger, I used to think, be nervous about that sermon. Get it ready. You know what consumes me now? It's not the sermon. It's the way I will live when I go home. It's what I'll do immediately after. Will I see Christ's face continuously? Will I be in this for his glory, not mine? Do I really see myself as someone who is communicating the Word of God and not relying, as Paul mentioned, on human wisdom, the wisdom of man, to see lives changed? There are people out there in and out of churches that are doing that. May we always avoid that and stick to the simplicity of the new covenant in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have given us a treasure way beyond anything the Israelites could ever ask for or imagine. May we not neglect such a great salvation. May we know your revelation as we know our own names. Lord, may we see ourselves as sharing in your glory so that we don't have to establish or seek our own. And Father, may you bless us with the presence of the living Christ so that we will never feel alone and always have the strength and the power to do whatever it is you command us to do. Lord, do all these things and more. Save those who have never yet begun the Christian life. Bring them to yourself. We'll give you all the praise and the glory for what you will do. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to our closing hymn, number 188. And let's stand and sing verse 1 and 4 only. Verses 1 and 4 only of number 188. Let's stand together.
Receive the benediction of our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen. I'd ask if you would be seated momentarily for a couple announcements. And so again, we do want to thank you for worshiping with us this morning and invite you to stay for some coffee and conversation in the lobby that's immediately outside the sanctuary. And also, be sure to welcome Alessandra, our newest member. She does have her father with her this morning supporting her. And also, in our bulletin, I wanted to highlight the fact that we are having some of our high school students going on a mission experience this summer up to Chattanooga. And as part of that, as it tends to be a costly endeavor, there's a few fundraisers that we're going to be doing that are coming up. You can see those dates listed in the bulletin. I did want to highlight one of those items. We're going to be hosting a yard sale here at the church. And so perhaps as you are doing some spring cleaning at your own home and you have some items that you're no longer using, feel free to donate those to our team that we will be able to sell and earn some income. And so there'll be more information about that forthcoming. I also want to call your attention to the yellow insert that is in your bulletin. This Sunday is the final Sunday of our winter quarter of Sunday school, and so next Sunday begins the first quarter of a set of new classes, and you can read about those classes there, and perhaps choose your class based on the length of the description, if that suits your fancy. And both classes will be excellent, so I say that as a matter of humor. But so I did want to call your attention to that, and you can be thinking about which class you would like to join in next quarter. And so other than that, you are dismissed. We look forward to enjoying some time together.